Today is a special day for us. It's the State of the Church Address. We always do at the day we have our business meeting. We do have our business meeting, but fear not. Our meetings are usually short and to the point. Today, I wanted you to hear from each of your pastors about the state of the church from a different perspective. And so I've asked Brandon to lead us off. And I want you to know something. My love for Brandon and respect for him goes far beyond the fact he is my grandson. He is my grandson. I readily claim him. In youth ministry and 40 years nearly of pastoring, it has been my experience that many student ministries have two basic goals. Draw a big crowd and have fun. Draw a big crowd and have fun. The success of an activity is if you get a lot of people to come and you have a good time. Unfortunately, there's another side to that, and that is somebody who comes in and bores kids to death. They're formal, strict, stiff, unyielding, unwielding, and it just bores kids to death. And what I want you to know that Brandon does both things very well. He bores them to death and has fun. No. He handles his ministry of shepherding the children, the teens of this church very well. I know him. I know his Christian testimony. I know his desires. And he is mature above his age, I can tell you that, when it comes to his love for Christ and his desire for his students to be all they can be in Christ Jesus. But his ministry depends upon parents. The younger kids cannot get here on their own. They have to have their parents' involvement in what's happening. And so remember that and think, come on, Brandon, tell us what you got for us.
All right. Well, that's some great words to hear. You know, I try not to take those for granted just because it's my grandfather saying it's also my pastor. Has been my pastor for going on 20 years. My family came here in 1998, which is crazy to think about, but I appreciate those. But it's crazy how fast 2017 kind of went by, right?
Yes.
It just came and went. And there was a lot of milestones in my own life. I took the plunge into adulting and moved out of my parents' house and got my own apartment. And what a reality check that was. Going grocery shopping for the first time. Not knowing what to buy, buying a lot of frozen foods, fish sticks and Hot Pockets and things like that. That's one of the milestones, but also just going to conferences and learning and meeting other youth pastors who are in different contexts. I have friends who are in urban settings, in very rich, wealthy settings, in country settings, and all across the country. And that's because of conferences I've been able to go to, some that the church has allowed me to go to, and then some that have been local and free. I've learned some ways to be a better youth pastor. I am nowhere near the youth pastor that I want to be. I've only been in this for going on 2 years, which is already crazy to think about that I've been here for 2 years. But I've learned a lot of things to be better at and how to manage certain things better. But what I did realize is that a lot of you guys don't know a lot about what happens in our ministry. Either you're a parent of a teenager, you have some kind of involvement in our ministry, or that you follow us on social media. That's how you see what happens in our ministry. But following just on us on social media is just kind of the faux thing that you get to see. You get to see the fun events that we have, the time that the teenagers get to spend together. We talk about camp quite a bit. Which I will talk about later in announcement time. But we talk about things very, very seldomly in student ministry, and I've realized that that's not the best thing. I want you guys to know what's happening with our students, what is going on, the decisions that they're making, the goals that they're trying to achieve, the impact that they're having in their context, and so that's kind of what I'm here for today. And so I'm going to tell you some of the goals that we accomplished in our ministry this past year and some of the goals that we have for 2018. The first goal that I kind of set for our ministry was to have a real relationships with our students and their parents. I feel going into year two that I've done a pretty good job at that. Am I perfect at it? Not at all. There are times where I slip up and I forget to send emails, or I forget to contact this parent or even contact this student about something. And I'm not perfect. But I do feel that I can have a conversation with any parent in our ministry and just have a conversation. It's not just a, oh, this person did this. I can literally just walk up and have a conversation. And that's built on real relationships. And it reminded me of Jesus and the 12. Jesus spent as much time as possible with the 12. And so that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to spend time not with just our students in our ministry, but also with their parents. The parents of our students is the primary influencer in their life. Mm-hmm. I'm a voice in their life, but I am not the primary influencer. Mom and dad,
amen,
have a higher hierarchy than me. Now, they may not want to listen to mom and dad and want to come to see if I have a better answer, but that's not the point of student ministry. We are to partner with parents in order shepherding their students in walking with Christ. And so I feel we've done a good job at that, and I'm excited to even do a better job at that. The second goal that we accomplished this past year was moving to a small group setting. That was something that God really placed on my heart pretty soon in coming to Marsh, and I value small groups. I value the intimate time that small groups that they deal with. You get into a smaller setting, you can talk about things. You can be open. You can be honest. It's keeping you accountable. You have a place where you feel safe. And so I began to pray about it and wonder, man, can we ever do small groups in our setting? We're not a huge ministry. We don't have a lot of volunteers. And I began to doubt myself, man, this isn't going to work. I'm just wasting my time reading these books on how to do small groups well. And then pretty soon after that, we began to prepare for the ministry fair. And I began, all right, this is the time. This is the opportunity for me to find small group leaders. And so I was reminded of Matthew chapter 21, verses 22. It says, whatever you ask in prayer, you'll receive if you have faith. I prayed a lot about small groups, but I never had faith that God would actually do it. And then leading into the ministry fair, I began to actually pray and have faith that God is going to bring the leaders that we need for our students and for our small groups. And then soon enough, I had more people sign up than I actually needed. And now some people were like, oh, okay, I'd love to get involved, and they signed up. And then you get the process of actually reaching out to them, hey, you signed up for this. Are you really wanting to help out with our students and our ministry? Now some said, oh, I had a misconception of kind of what was happening. That's totally fine. But some were like, I can't wait. And so now we have three different small groups. Our high school girls meet with two leaders. Our junior high girls meet with one leader right now, looking for another if anyone wants to serve in our student ministry. And then we have a boys ministry that meets with two leaders. I value those small groups, and I value the leaders because they are pouring into our students and they love them. The third thing, which kind of goes into small groups, is that our students have more than just my voice in their life. They hear me Sunday and Wednesday. They get tired of me. It's okay. It's okay to get tired with somebody. And so in order for us to have more voices in the lives of our students, that's where small groups kind of came into play. And so now I want you to know that the small group leaders of every student has two voices or at least one other voice in their life outside of their families. And so I appreciate them, and they aren't there to go against what I say. Now, if I'm being unbiblical, I hope that they are going against what I say.
Yes.
And I hope that they would call me out saying, what you said is not truth. But what they do is that they back me up on everything that we do in our ministry. They buy into what we mean in Crave Student Ministry. What it also does is that it doesn't revolve around me. I can leave on a Sunday, which I did. 2 weeks ago, I was in Oklahoma seeing my brother and my sister-in-law. And I didn't worry one bit that the building was going to get burned down because no one was up there. I knew my leaders had it covered. I knew that they can take care of the students and have no issues whatsoever. And so I'm super happy that that's working out. And then the last thing that we accomplished this past year was extending our reach into the community. We talked about it at the missions conference of extending our reach. And I realized that we have a middle school about half a mile from here, Marsh Middle School, right up there off of Cox and Forest. We have zero students that attend that school. We have zero students that attend that school. And that broke my heart. Mm-hmm. How can we have a ministry of about 15 students have none that go to that school, have no influence or impact on that campus. And so I began to pray and see, God, how can we get on that campus? And through Download Youth Ministry, which is a website that I'm a part of and has resources, I found resources as partnering with FCA. And so it got me contact with the area manager for FCA of all of Dallas. Got to talk to him, and I sent him an email, and that day he replied and said, it's actually crazy, I'm going to Marshmallow right now to talk about FCA with a teacher. And that's not something that we did, it's God working.
Amen.
And so now, we've established an FCA meeting every first and third Friday at Marshmallow School. And we've had about three meetings, we're averaging about 50 students. And it's not about the numbers, and 50 students is great. But it's more that they're hearing the gospel, that they're hearing the truth of what the word says. Many of these students come from either from a Catholic background or no religious background whatsoever. And so I even told the FCA member and the teacher that's a part of it, I said, my goal is not for Marsh Lane Baptist Church to gain a bunch of students. I said, I want Marsh Middle School to be impacted with the gospel.
Amen.
And so we're hopefully getting closer to that, and we are excited for FCA and what it means. And so as this new year has started, I began to think of, okay, what can we do in 2018? And so one of the first things that kind of burdened my heart was having our students and our church members know the mission of our ministry. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was I bought a banner, and I bought boards, and I put it on the wall up by our student ministry room. Our mission is for every student that comes through Crave Student Ministry to know Christ. By the time they leave our ministry, they better know Christ. If not, I'm doing a bad job. Mm-hmm. We want them to grow in their faith. If they haven't seen some type of mature process by the time they have gotten into our ministry at sixth grade to when they graduate as a senior in high school, then we're doing something wrong. We want them to grow in the ministry. We want them to serve in the church. And I love that majority of our students do. And that was established before I got here, so I can't even take credit for that. But they serve. And the next one is to go make disciples. That was the great commission that Jesus left us with. We want our students to know our mission. And we want our church to know this mission. And it's not just because we want to have this really cool statement or anything like that. The reason I want the rest of the church to know our mission is because you guys have influence with teenagers.
Yes.
You have family members that you know that aren't plugged into church, or maybe you're a teacher. You have some kind of influence with teenagers, so we want you to know the mission of our church. So when you say, hey, are you plugged in anywhere? No. Hey, our student ministry is this, this, this. So you know who we are, and you can explain it even better to the students that you come in contact with. The next one is extending our reach again. FCA is just the start of what we want to happen. All right, I want our students living out our mission and our vision of our ministry to extending their reach into their schools. If they're living out their mission of our ministry, then they are going to be trying to find people who don't know Christ to help them grow in their faith, to come be a part of a body of believers in order to grow. And so I've realized the best form of evangelism and outreach is not by me going on campus and having this great, awesome message. It's by students reaching other students. And so that's what we want. We want our students to be able to reach other students in their context in order they can grow and hear the gospel. The third thing, and this is one that's kind of been on my heart just because it's impacted me, and that is to have better relationships between generations. One of my favorite things here at the church is the senior social. Oh man, it's so much fun. Now, some of you guys think, oh, it's just a bunch of old people. Nope, it's a lot of fun. We play games, we have great conversations. I have built some fantastic relationships by just playing card games. Mary Lou is one of my best friends here. She may not admit that, but I love her. I mess with her every time we play. I say she has bad cards. I put a little bad luck on her. And so I love that. I love that I can walk into this church and see multiple people who are way older than me, have different walks of life, and then I can have a conversation with them, that I have a real relationship with them. It's not just, hey, Mary Lou, on Wednesday or Sundays. I'm sure I can call Mary Lou. Hey, Mary Lou, can I come for dinner? She may say no at first, but I'll work on her. And I want our students to have that. I want you guys to know our students, and I want our students to know you guys. We are not meant to be our own identity. The students are meant to be a part of the body of Christ in at Marsh Lane. And so that's one thing I am really pushing for, and I'm trying to think of ways to do better at that. So, older generation, be prepared. I may call on you to kind of step out of your comfort zone to talk to some of our students. They don't bite. They may stink, but they don't bite. All right? And then the fourth goal for our student ministry this year is to help our students and our church to see that our students can have an impact now than in just in the future. There's a statement that's been tossed around that the students and the children of the church are the church of the future, or the church of tomorrow. And to be honest, that kind of hurts my feelings to think about that. And that's because we think that teenagers can't impact our church until they get to a certain age or to a certain mature point in life. And I'm not saying that's us. I think we do a fantastic job at having our students serve, having our kids serve with ushers and things like that. But as the body of believers, as the unified church of Christ, we have run into this issue of telling students and children that they can't serve or do something until later on in life. All it does is hurt the confidence of the next generation. It actually ends up making them leave the church because they don't belong. Their voice isn't heard. Their opinions don't matter. And so I'm really hoping that our students know that our church knows that our students have great ideas. We just have to empower them. We have to encourage them to be able to share that. And so while I was thinking about these goals, I stumbled upon this passage. It says Proverbs 16, verses 1 through 3. We can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. So my prayer is that if these goals are not rooted in Jesus, if they're not rooted in advancing the gospel, that they wouldn't happen. If my motives are not pure, if my motives are about gaining this flashy big ministry, that it wouldn't happen. Because I don't want that to happen. I want us to have real, genuine relationships that are impacting others with the gospel. So now you know a little bit about us. And I want you to hold me accountable. If you see that our ministry isn't doing these things, or that I'm not doing these things, call me out. I hope to be teachable. I hope to be able to be criticized. And that's totally okay. But have conversations with our students, and our students will have conversations with you. We're excited for 2018, and we're excited for Crave Student Ministry.
Amen. I'm going to go next. First, I want to clarify something. I want this to be crystal clear. I am not going anywhere. I am not leaving. I have zero plans to retire or to leave anywhere else. In fact, if you ask me to leave, I will go somewhere else where I can do what I am doing because I love what I'm doing. I have no plans. Scott coming on staff was not a signal that I was going to leave somewhere. Just want you to know that. I'm glad he's here. He adds a lot to our church, and I know he shakes some of you up. But maybe we need to get shaken up a little. I don't know the future, folks. I really don't know the future. And I hope that if it ever comes to a point where I can't do what I love doing, I'll have the courage and the grace to do what needs to be done in the safe. My wife has been commissioned. When I repeat myself over and over again, drool on my chin, she pulls the plug. Not literally. Some of you got way too happy about that statement. I'm going to tell you right now. I was with some friends this week. I'm on the board of directors at the Arlington Baptist University, and one of my friends made this statement. I would rather aim at the moon and hit a streetlight than to aim at nothing and hit it. Isn't that a good statement? Last year, we had some goals. And our goals were these. to hire a new staff member, future focus, setting right there. Develop an outward focus by, first of all, beginning a relationship with DeGallier Elementary School. We did that at the beginning of last year. We had several encounters with them, and then in November we had a special event for teachers from DeGallier, the staff from DeGallier. Half of the school staff came to our breakfast on a Saturday morning before Thanksgiving break. I'll let that sink in. They were going away for Thanksgiving, and yet half of the school staff showed up here for breakfast that morning. We had a great time together, and because of that, Principal Mays called me and said, I want you to sit on a community board with our school. There are people from the Neighborhood Association, DeGallier Dads, several other groups, the PTA, and me sit on a board. And the second Tuesday of every month, I'm down there at 4 o'clock, just sitting there not knowing what the heck I'm doing, but I'm there. And I told them that we have something coming up with our youth, and they want to do a service project. You got anything? Oh, I have stuff for them to do, kind of thing. So we continue that relationship, and it's building as we go. They still need mentoring people. They need reading aloud people. They need cafeteria volunteers that will be with the kids during lunch. They need tutoring, relationship building. All of those things are still needed by the school. If you want to start, you go to disd.com, I think it, or .org it is, and you can sign up to be a volunteer and tell them what school you want to be a part of and all that. We began practical ministries, a helps ministry. We had some guys that helped us do edging last year and working on the yard, and I sure hope they come back next year. Helping with some heavy lifting kinds of things that we do. Beginning a new refugee ministry. Our outreach program was DeGallier, and then we also involved the Men of Action, who did some things in our community, and we also did the Gateway of Grace. And Lisa is back there. She heads all of that up as a ministry of our church, and we've done a couple things with Gateway of Grace. We have a new discipleship program that began this year, last year. One small group is functioning. We want to extend that. We also want to get men involved in this right here. On Saturday mornings, the third Saturday of every month, for the next 5 months, we're going through this book, Fight. It's a good book, and it is a good study, and we're calling men to be a part of that. All you have to do is commit to 10 hours a month, 2 hours a week, for your work, and then the 2 hours for the Saturday morning time. We're just doing everything we can to get. Johnny is leading that, and it's going to be a great development time for us as men. We wanted to last year start a new members class, and we have some issues that are going on with our constitution and bylaws, which are coming and all of that. And so hopefully in the next 2 months we'll have that started. I've been working on the class, but it hasn't been started yet. And then we did participate in what was called One Night, One Mission there at Arlington, and all of us who went had a good time with that. We raised some money. I can report that the state of our church is good. Financially, we ended the year about where we started. We have about the same amount of money in the bank that we had at the very beginning. We did everything we wanted to do, all of the programs we wanted to do, all of that. We did all of that and still ended up about where we were when we started the year. We have about 71 regular contributors to our church that fund about 88% of our ministry here at the church. So if we want to do more, the idea of doing more has to be we have to get more than 71, because we did everything this year, 88% of it, so that's what we're shooting for. We started online giving. Online giving, we batted around for a while, and we went ahead and opened that up and done it, and it has been a smashing success. I can tell you, it's just been great. People can now, right where you're sitting right now, in fact, if you want to, you can pull up your smartphones, go to mlbc.org, click on the giving tile, and give us $1,000 right now. Just go ahead and do that. What we know for sure so far is, based upon a casual look at things, is that about $800 a week is coming in that wasn't coming in before. Isn't that great? And I know from personal testimonies of people, their own personal testimony, you know what it's done for me, they say? I'm regular now, because I would have to go get money from the bank and then give it. And if I forgot to get it from the bank, then I wouldn't be able to give it. Or we'd have a missionary here and we'd say to you, we'll front you the money because you don't. Now we don't have to do that anymore. You can just go. And right then, when we have a missionary present you want to give a love offering to, you just give the money and it's all recorded. It comes into our bank. There is a small fee that's charged to it, but we decided as a leadership, we'll cover the fee. And it's gaining for us. So it's been a very successful thing. It's easy to do. How many of you participate in online giving? Raise your hand. Up high. There you go. See who's doing it? Then you'll know. If you've got a question, go ask them and they can tell you. Missions, we've already celebrated just a little under 103,000 given to missions this year. We had a big hoop and holler time last year about that. We have some big plans for this year. Our ministry fair that we had at the beginning of last year, the spring of last year, was a good success. We started all kinds of new ministries. If you're a ministry head, would you please stand up? Anybody who's a ministry head, please stand up. Yes, thank you. Thank you. They're always looking for, they've been doing things and all of that. And this, just a little while when we do our budget, the budget reflects the fact that we have these ministries. Some of the ministries were covered by budget categories and some were not. That's been corrected. Everybody's ministry has some amount of money on the budget, in the budget. Now, I always tell everybody this. The budget is printing on paper. The only way it becomes a reality is if people give the money. You know, okay. No, we have them all in the budget, so they have some money to spend in their ministries this year. I appreciate that. We continually strive to be better as a church. We cannot compete with Prestonwood. Just can't. I'm telling you, we can't do that. But we can be the very best small church we can be, and that's my goal, for Marshalling to be the best at what it does, it can do, with the people we have and the resources we have. We did our courtyard improvements, and some of you, because of the way you come into church, haven't even noticed that we have a nice wrought iron fence over here. We have an outdoor picnic area. The kids now can go out there and not run into the street. When we have our Easter egg hunts and stuff, they'll be able to be turned loose out there. It's an area out there that you can use. In 2018, we have some things planned. We're going to begin our new members class, hopefully, in a couple of months. We also, in February 23rd, we're hosting a Work as Worship telecast. How do they say that? Simulcast. It costs $25 to sign up. Or you can go to Plano and get the real life thing for $50. And the $25, if people sign up, and it's open to everybody in the community, not just our church. But if you can be free on the 23rd, that Friday, it's Work as Worship. It's understanding that what we do outside of this church is also worship. The $25 for the sign up will eventually come back to Marshalling Baptist Church, because we're going to provide lunch and snacks and all the other things. And it's going to be here or there. Now, this is the first time we've tried this, and we're going to do it, so we'll see how it goes. In October of next year, we're going to Israel. Tony and I are going. If we're the only people that are going, Tony and I are going. It's expensive. I know that it is expensive. It costs you about $38.50 plus spending money to go. It's with Craig Dunning, whom we supported as a missionary for 12 years or more. He lived in Israel. He'll be leading it. We're going with Journey Church in Fort Worth, a good group of people. And so if you want to go to Israel, now you need to spend about $100 a week, or save about $100 a week in order to have that much money. But you can dip into your savings if you want to. We're going to expand our men's and ladies' ministries. I want them to be better, bigger, and nicer, and more targeted on developing us as individual believers. Small group discipleship. We have this one group. If you're interested in growing in your Christian faith and would be a part of a committed small group disciple program, you need to let me know that. Because we can waste time trying to get other people convinced that they need to be discipled, but what we're going to do is invest in the people who want to be discipled. That make sense? We want to build our Wednesday worship. Right now we're averaging about 30 adults in there. We can do better than that, and we want you to come. It's a good time. I think it's a good time. I'm shorter than Scott. When I lead it, we're done in an hour. When Scott leads it, we're done in an hour and a half. But that's the most we're talking about. Be there. Be a part of it. We discuss. We're going through Scripture. We interact together. We have all kinds of stuff. Come and be a part of that. I want our church to grow by an average 30. That's 20% growth I'm projecting for this year. And that's important. I want us to do that. Up until this time, we pretty much waited on God to bring his people, and he's brought us some good people. But we can do better than that. Jesus called his disciples to go forth and make disciples, and we should start doing that. That means we have to interact more with the people outside of our church. Mission ministry impact. Our voter money that we get, because we are early voting site, I want to designate into missions totally, and this is the area I want to designate it totally, and that is in foreign projects or projects to work. In other words, I want us to take money to Nicaragua and build a building. I don't want us just to send money to Nicaragua and build a building. I want to take a bunch of people to Nicaragua with some cash and build a building. Or put a roof on a building, or do something in that nature. So look for that. It's coming. We're going to be doing that this year, whether it's Dominican Republic, or we're going to try not to make it an all-day flight. But anyway, that's just because I'm a wimp. We're going to be doing more of that. We have some practical things that we'll need to do around our church, and starting next month, there's going to be a list out there. These are the projects of things that need to be done. This is the estimated cost of those. You can either do them yourself or pay somebody to do it. We already got some stuff that we're working on, and we're continuing to work on that. But here's the point. None of it will mean anything if we forget our major purpose. And our major purpose is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ so people come to know Christ. We just, in that song, this world is going to melt like snow. It's going to go away. And everything we put our lives into is going to disappear except for the human beings you are connected with. And every person sitting in this room has an eternal soul. You were built for eternity. You are going to spend eternity somewhere. And it is our job as believers to make sure as many people as possible know that Jesus Christ came and lived and died for them so they can have eternal life. Our major goal as a church will still be the same, to equip believers to do the work of ministry so the church will be built up. And that's what I want us to do. So, Pastor Scott, why don't you come and tell us your aspects of state of the church.
And I know some of you are scared to death that I'm just now getting up. And you maybe should be. Isn't that great stuff? I mean, let's take just a moment and give a round of applause to God for what he's done. He's a good God, isn't he? He is powerful. And there's some good stuff and good plans moving forward. And I praise God for our pastor that's looking forward. But I want to tell you, we want more. We want more. Isn't it crazy how Jesus asked for that all the time from everybody? He just, no matter what their encounter with him, there was this hanging where Jesus is saying, yeah, but I want more. So we don't want to be content. We don't want to just settle. We don't want to be just all right. We want more. And we want for God to grow in our hearts. And we want him to grow us spiritually. Let me just get you to shout out an amen if this year you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Sorry? I thought I heard one. Did I hear one? Yeah, okay. I'm just didn't hear it. I'm going deaf, I guess. Yeah. Amen, right? A few. Amen, right? Isn't that great? That's spiritual work going in there. Hey, I want to ask you to give a shout out and amen if this year you followed the Lord in obedience of baptism. Isn't that great? Isn't that where God's moving and working in hearts? Isn't that where He's changing? Hey, I want you to give me a shout out if this year you made a commitment to Christ. Isn't that fantastic? God will move inside of our hearts and He will work to do something. He's going to work to change our heart. That's the more we want. Right? He wants to change our heart into the reality. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that we're a new creation. And what God wants to do is to change our heart to the reality where we are living out the truth that we're a new creation. You see, my desire, my hope, is that next year, when we say, give an amen if you've come to know Christ, that there's more. If next year we say, give an amen if you followed in obedience of baptism, there's more. And if next year we say, tell me where it is, give a shout out because you've made a commitment for a change that God wants in your heart, that not one person sitting here doesn't say, amen. We want more. It's more than just serving others. And we go to DeGaulier and doing a project while we detest people. It's just more. God's craving and wants more for you. It's more than saying, okay, I'm going to be here in worship. And the whole time I'm here in worship, I'm complaining in my heart and mind. It's more. He wants so much more. And we want it to. Your pastoral staff wants it. We want there to be more. Here's the truth that's hard to accept sometimes in our line of work. No one can do it for anyone else. There's nothing that we can do that will guarantee growth for you. Nothing. Now imagine that. Imagine walking into your job and saying, there's nothing I can do to be successful today. Our job is not to create growth in your life. That's God's job and yours. Our job is to create opportunities for growth. Our job is to place it out here where there's a chance for you to be able to experience life change. And that's what we're trying to do. I thought about Jesus with his disciples. And I thought about their living together. And there's a couple things that happened in Jesus with his disciples. Would we all agree that probably the disciples grew spiritually in their time with Jesus? That's a fair statement, right? They weren't perfect. Hallelujah for that. That gives us hope, right? They weren't perfect, but they were growing. They were changing. They were moving. And so I thought about what were the things that were happening. Where was it that Jesus was putting them? And I'll tell you the first one is they embraced fully God. Because it was Jesus. They're living and walking around with Him. They're embracing fully. They're experiencing a relationship on a daily basis with God Almighty. There is not going to be any spiritual growth until we're doing that. We've got to embrace fully who Jesus is. We've got to fall into His love. There's so many people that will speak about the greatness of God's love who have no understanding about who God is and His love for you. You've just heard somebody else say it. That's it. We want more. We want you to experience Christ's presence daily. You already smart ones have you figured out that won't happen just by being here. So if the extent of your desire to grow spiritually is your presence here, you're in trouble. We want more. We want you to taste the goodness of the God that you claim. We want to know Him deeply, intimately. But see, Jesus, they're running around with Jesus, but this crazy other thing happens. He's always telling them, they abandoned their lives completely. Here's what gets really scary, right? Doesn't that sound great, knowing Jesus fully and basking in His love? Man, that sounds just fantastic. They abandoned their lives fully. I thought about Peter. We think about, what's going on? Peter had a family, right? He had a wife. We know for sure he's got a mother-in-law. He's got a wife. He ran around with Jesus all over the place. What happened to his wife? Where's she at? There's really only two possibilities. You know, I don't really know. If you know, you feel free to share later. There's really only two possibilities. Either she runs around with him, right? Either she's running around all with him everywhere he's going as he's traveling through, or she's at home and he's gone. Now, let me tell you what. Either one of those two options wouldn't fly over for most of us today. Any thought of putting our family at some type of distress in order to serve God? Whoa. Because we don't abandon our lives fully. We don't throw them away and say they don't matter. We don't hear what he says in 2 Corinthians when he says that we're going to go after what's unseen instead of what's seen. We don't do that. Our lives are stunted spiritually in our growth because we're afraid to abandon our lives fully to Him. Man, we want to do that. You know what that requires? That requires a change in thinking. Requires a change in thinking in order to be able to abandon our lives fully. But that's what they did. And you know what else happened? They loved others recklessly. They're just out there. And Jesus was constantly calling them to more, right? Constantly calling them to more. This just dynamic of what's going on with him, where he's taking them to places they wouldn't want to go. When they're saying, we want to strike them down, and he's like, no. You love on them. When he's opened your eyes, here's the harvest. When there's all these people and he says, feed them, feed them. What am I supposed to do to feed them? He's constantly calling them to look to serve more. They're arguing about who's the greatest, and he's washing their feet. He says, you guys get it. It's loving on others. And if we're going to grow and be more spiritually than just checking off tasks, we've got to fully grasp that reality. See, that's the truth about growing spiritually. It's reality. But how do we set that up? How do we make that happen? And so we seek to get those opportunities. You know why? You know why Pastor stands up here and faithfully delivers the Word of God every week? To challenge, to change our thinking. Alter the way that we see it, to allow the Spirit of God to move in. You know why? We have Wednesday worship, and if you've been around on Wednesday worship and you've been around, you'll recognize that we are trying more and more to allow you to personally engage in it. You know why that is? You know why we want to personally have you engage? Because we want you to experience the presence of God, not for somebody to tell you about the presence of God. We want you to experience the Spirit opening up and illuminating His Word, not have somebody tell you, hey, this is what the Word says. Why is it we take time in the middle of the service to stop and pray instead of just praying? Because we want you to experience it yourself, a moment of passionate prayer with the Lord. We just open up opportunities for you to dive in and experience those. What we can't do is make you come. What we can't do is make you participate. We can just throw the opportunities. But we want more. We want more than just serving people and checking off a list. And Lisa's doing such a great job and opening up opportunities for us on that. And we want to dive in and we want to be known. We want to be known that we care about others. This church is known by many, to include myself, as being a great loving church for the people here. How many of you would agree with me on that? Amen, right? We want to be known that we love others as well. But we wanted to dive into our individual hearts that it's not just the moments that were in there. It's a part of who we are, that we look for opportunities to love on others. We want more. We want God's work to do something miraculous inside of our hearts. It's scary. Do you know what scares me the most? And it scares me. What scares me the most is that no one will do it. You know why that scares me the most? Because I'm talking about me, see. If no one does it, that means knowing. I know the truth of it, and yet I'm afraid to abandon my life. And that we will be at the end of another year, and we'll look again, and we'll have to face in the mirror that we didn't truly let go of self, that we didn't fully embrace our God, that we didn't recklessly, to our own detriment, love on others. Then all of the goals that we set that we do, all of the finances that went out, are meaningless. That's what it says in Corinthians, where it says it's just noise without the reality of the love, without the growth spiritually in our lives, and Christ being the factor that's motivating and moving us, our understanding of the riches of glory that come, it's just actions. And we want more. I want more. I want more for myself. And I'm asking you, come along with me. Let's have more, so that we can bring more honor and glory to our Lord and Savior.
Let's pray. Father, today in your presence we stand, recognizing that it really is up to us. You've given us a Redeemer. You've given us the eternal Word. You've given us the Holy Spirit to reside inside of us. You have given us the most input any group of believers have ever had access to in the history of the world. Now it's just up to us. We either do it or we don't. We either love you with our whole hearts and our whole minds and all our strength and all of our bodies, or we don't. We either share our faith with others or we don't. We either turn loose of some of what you've given us or we don't. It's all up to us. So today in this place, may you win the battle. May we just say enough is enough. I give my whole life to you. Right now, this moment, in Jesus' name, amen.